Blog Talk Radio.
But I do have five lines open, 347-945-6713.
6713 is the number. I'm hopping early. Oh, God, the angry Norm has come. The angry Duncan, as some actor friends of mine called me. You know, I got to play the part of Duncan in the school play. But I want some callers tonight. I got a guest supposedly coming on in about 10 minutes. I'll leave that as a surprise for you. I got a whole bunch of things written down here to talk about. But let's get right here with this unemployment insurance. Should the Congress extend unemployment? You tell me. 347-945-6713. Give me a call. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Nobody in the chat room. The question in the chat room, the question now. Are we going to have class warfare in the United States? Is it coming? What do you think? 347-945-6713. I got to go do something about this heat. It's very, very hot in here. So, oh, God, that's the Skyper Ruby. I don't see anybody there. I don't see anybody in the chat room. How about the switchboard? This is a Windows 7 computer, so I have a little trouble. Well, I go make the heat a little more comfortable in here in Cat Harpin, Virginia. Yeah, I'm back at work. Why don't you all listen to a little? Why don't you give me a call music?
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone. Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea, I'm sitting in the clear, 'cause no one wants me near. How strange that everyone I spoke thought I was telling them a joke, 'cause all their phone does in the end is clearly drive them round the bend. But I dare not pass my door for fear that if I do, for sure some person will show sympathy and try to send a call to me. But why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone.
Yeah, I'm all alone here. Hey, I just, you know, I had to go take a peek, and since last week we picked up almost 500 more listens. That's a good sign. I wasn't sure if we had a good show or not last week. That was the thank you show. What do you have to be thankful for? But let's see what happens this week. 16,439 listens. That's a pretty good showing for the Norman Knight Show. But everybody's just listening to me. I feel like a circus performer. Come on, give me a call. 347-945-6713. Join in with me on the show. I do have another question for you. What kind of jobs are all these people we're going to give the tax cuts to? What kind of jobs are they going to create? They're going to create the unionized factory jobs that used to pay this country's bills, that used to give us hope for our children to be better than we were, to move off Kermit Avenue, to move out into Williamsville. Now, I'm not 100% sure that's the way to be, but reason, I may have hated a whole lot of things about Bethlehem Steel, but one thing for sure, Bethlehem Steel helped the Constantines go from being simple dirtball immigrants fresh off the boat from Italy to doctors and lawyers and other kinds of teachers, other kinds of professionals. In one generation, my grandfather came to America. My children, not speaking a word of English, my children both had grandparents, or both, all three of them had grandparents on both sides of their families who were college graduates. That's a miracle. Oh, looks like I'm going to be alone again tonight. Another Constantine rave. But okay, all these people are unemployed because their jobs don't exist anymore. Not because we laid people off waiting for the company to take a turn the other way. These people don't have jobs because there are no jobs for them. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Somebody call and tell me. The Republicans don't have the answer. I thought maybe the Democrats did. Barack Obama. Oh, let's talk about Barack Obama for a little bit. Yes, I voted for him. You know, everybody's joking, is Sarah Palin qualified to be president of the United States? Let's worry about the guy who is the president. Let's ask a real hard question. Maybe he isn't so smart. Maybe he isn't this cool, collected decision maker. Maybe he's just a pretender. Oh, the Republicans were just a party of no. He had 80 votes in the House and 60 votes. He had an 80-vote majority in the House, a 60-vote majority in the Senate, and he couldn't do anything. Oh, maybe your wife's proud of America now. I really thought maybe all this rhetoric, all this pretty TV talk was going to turn into something, but it didn't. It hasn't. I'm watching the Democratic mandate of Frank Roosevelt go right down the tubes, a flush of the White House toilet. I can't believe I'm bad-mouthing my president this way. I might not have liked the things George Bush did, but by God, at least he was trying to do, he always tried to do the things he said he was going to do. Anyway, taxes versus unemployment. How are they supposed to reach this compromise? What do you think America should do? Should we extend the unemployment? Because if we don't, and these people start starving, there's going to be trouble in the streets. And that's not an unusual thing in this wonderful America of ours. Hell, the Constitution came into being because of trouble in the streets. Scared people poopless. Somebody said the other day that I was dropping F-bombs on the show, so I'm trying to clean it up a little bit. I do teach little kids every day, you know, when the gravelly voice of mine. Oh, something else. Yeah, I read a real interesting column about the good congressman from Harlem, the guy who was censored today. Should he have been? Why, all of a sudden, his name has slipped me. Chairman Rangel, Congressman Rangel, should he have been censured? Did he do anything really so horribly wrong? I read a column from a Republican today, and he doesn't think he's done anything horribly wrong. He's been a U.S. congressman for 20 terms. That's 40 years. He's a war hero in Korea. Should he have been censured? I don't know the answer. Why don't you give me a call? Let the users know. 347-945-6713. Hey, I got some activity in the chat room. I should have gone here a little quicker. A caller says in the chat room, heck, eat the rich. We're sons of the working class. Yeah, we are. Oh, yes, we are. We sure are. Throw the landlords out on their ass. I don't know. What do you think of that? 347-945-6713. Should everybody have a place to live in America? I can't, here's a caller, actually a chat roomer. I can't vote for Palin. We can't have somebody in office with less education than I have. Take it to the streets, as the song goes. You know, I just listen to these jerks in Washington. You know, Sarah Palin, if she wasn't such a loony bin, she'd start to get interesting for Norm. Although I can't believe I'm even saying that. You know, there's a whole political ideology that comes out of the revolution that you can trace directly to Sarah Palin. I know I sound like a screaming meme half the time on this show, but I've spent a lot of time studying and reading and learning about the revolution. I'm every bit the populist that Sarah Palin is. My vision is just in a different direction about a bunch of different things. But I want to know what people are going to do. How are they going to eat? How are they going to get jobs? Let's go back to the switchboard, see if anybody's here. No callers yet, but I got a couple of promises that people were going to be coming in from calling in. Let's see, what else do I have here on my list? Something I don't think people are understanding. Businesses don't lay off people that have stuff to do. They don't. They don't lay off people if they're moving product. The problem is we need a whole lot less people nowadays to move product than we have in the past. And we can't simply cut the people who buy the products out of their jobs. Because no matter how cheap we get the products, from wherever we get the products, if the people in your market can't buy the products. They just pile up. What good is that? It's not any good. The other thing I want somebody to tell me, and I really want somebody to tell me this, if all these tax cuts, which they now want to extend, we're going to create so many jobs, how come no real significant number of jobs was created in the Bush administration? How come in an administration for 8 years before where the taxes were much, much higher, all kinds of jobs were created? I just would like somebody to tell me the answer. If you can tell me the answer, I might even vote for you. But so be it. I don't know. Oh, it is still got awful hot in this studio. But I'm in the switchboard. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Hey, guest 6310, welcome to the Norman Knight Show. What do you think? Do you think we should extend the tax cuts? 6310, do you think we should extend unemployment benefits? If you think we should extend the tax cuts, is it because it's going to, you think it will create more jobs? If that is it, 6310, why don't you just tell us that? Tell me how they're going to create more jobs. And if we don't extend the unemployment taxes, what are those people going to eat? Somebody just tell me that. We're not talking about people who can, like there's some jerk senator on the morning, Morning Joe this morning. Well, yeah, well, I'm going to be unemployed in 30 days. You're going to be unemployed, my ass. You know where your next meal is coming from. Most of the people on unemployment don't. Oh, well, we have to figure out how to, get into the best colleges and universities in America. Folks, there are people in America trying to figure out how to eat. And it's just not out of the human heart for that. Those people very shortly could be tearing things to shreds. Some people say we're about due for another civil war over very different issues. Well, what do you think about all of that? 6310? You're there in the chat room. You're listening to us. Give me something to relay to the audience. Better yet, 347-945-6713. If you think I'm full of hot air, call up and puncture my balloon. If you don't think I'm full of hot air, call up and let me know somebody's listening to me. This is insanity. I was listening to Richard Dreyfuss earlier today. He says the country needs a civics lesson. I don't know. Does the country need a civics lesson? How does the blessed government work? Maybe, here's one for you. Maybe we should just call a constitutional convention, throw the whole thing out and start over. How about that? We'll throw the whole thing out. We'll start over. We wouldn't be the first country to do that, nor the last. I mean, Who knows what would have happened if we'd have kept the Articles of Confederation? Maybe if we had kept the Articles of Confederation, the country, the 20th century wouldn't have been the bloodiest century in human history. Well, we almost, or we came to the verge of, and we really haven't stepped back that far from, annihilating ourselves as a species. I can remember sitting under my desk as a little kid hiding from a Soviet nuclear bomb, air raid shelters, the yellow sign with the three black triangles on it going down into the basement of my church. Oh, yeah, they dropped an atomic bomb on Buffalo. It would have really, really helped me to be in the basement. Hey, I got a caller coming through, finally. Oh, go ahead. You're on with Norm.
Run, duck, and cover.
Run, duck, and cover. Right, right under the benches at St. Gerard's Elementary School.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you ever go down the basement and look at the food? They
look
had
at
down
the big
there?
Cans of water.
Oh,
and powdered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we could punch holes with big water jugs to watch them.
I remember. There was one giant canister filled with hard candy, and we saw it. We were like, look at that.
Oh, a little hard candy.
Yeah, but you can imagine how old it was.
Yeah, but it can't go bad, can it?
I think after a while, it's all sealed and everything, but, you know, I imagine it goes bad after time, you know. There's a certain amount of oxidation to make it rancid, you know.
You're still with us, 6310. Why don't you call in?
Yeah.
We got space for you on the main line. I was supposed to be getting a call from, I had an actor friend of mine coming in for, probably heard me going crazy here and decided not to come in.
Oh.
It's like,
Yeah.
I admit I've been a little fired up tonight.
Yeah, well, you know.
Maybe you could tell me, what are all these tax cuts going to do? What are they going to do?
They don't do very much, at least not at the high end, and that's been true for everybody should know this. I mean, the CBO the CBO has put out the numbers, and we know what works and what doesn't work. And large tax cuts for wealthy people don't work. Or at least the effect.
So why do we keep doing them?
Well.
And why do we keep pretending that they do?
Well, we don't. Now, Republicans, you know, could.
Somebody's
they have wealthy. Well, let's look at it this way, too. Of the people in Congress, aren't most of them, you know, wealthy people?
I think 40%
majority.
Of them.
You know, I mean, they're voting in their own interest, for that matter. It's not. But, well, you know how Ben Bernanke got the name Helicopter Ben?
No, I don't. Why don't you tell us?
Oh, okay.
This is an exclusive right here on Norm at Night.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One time, he was in some sort of conference of some sort, or maybe a congressional hearing, and they asked him what the best way was to stimulate the economy. And he said, the best way, he said, you could just fill helicopters up with billions of dollars and just drop it over the cities. And he says, it's immediate stimulation. People get the money. Bam, they're going to spend it right then and there.
He really said that.
He really said
that. Making
that
up.
No, that's what he said, and that's why they call him Helicopter Ben. But, you know, obviously he was making a joke, more or less, but there's a lot of truth to it, because let's say unemployment benefits, welfare payments, food stamps, all of that, it goes directly to the people with the most need, and they will spend it immediately. They have to. And
they don't have any choice.
And that's exactly the point. So you get a lot, even if you're giving this away, which essentially you are, it has much more stimulative effect. It keeps stores going. It keeps food production going. It employs more people because service, you know, it keeps people in their homes so the rent is paid. You know, that all that stuff is there, you know. And there's a critical part of unemployment insurance that I don't think people realize is it takes quite a lot of energy, money to create a family unit, you know, where they're stable in a home or even in an apartment where they have furniture and they can pay their bills and all the rest of that. The kids go to school. And once you allow that to break down, you know what I'm saying, a family unit, which is actually an economic unit, it's very difficult to rebuild it. And when you start allowing that to happen, that's when society starts to break down. That's when crime goes crazy and you get all kinds of problems from that point on. The kids don't go to school anymore. They don't get fed. You have more health issues. On and on it goes. All the societal ills are that much worse. So there's a lot to be said for welfare programs, food stamps, unemployment insurance, because they're maintaining families. There's a stability. And that is, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like a, you know, a bleeding heart liberal. I'm just talking in economic terms. This is something I was trying to get to last week, saying that, you know, you have this segment of society and, you know, it is anywhere from the range of 20 to 25% of all of us who are reliant on government assistance. So there's very little you can cut there without having increased problems. So that's why when they talk about, well, we're going to cut that, you know, there is very little you can cut in that area. Now, there are a lot of places you can cut, but it is defense, of course. You could eliminate the Department of Education. You could eliminate much of the Department of Agriculture, certainly all the subsidies and that can be erased. Department of the Interior, give all that federal land back to the states, let them manage it. It's their state anyway. Well, I don't know why the federal government in the western United States owns like 30 to 40% of all the land. That's absurd.
Well, who should own it?
Well, the states. Who else?
Why should the state?
The 30%
the government was there first. That land belongs to all of us.
Yeah, well, when I look at New York State, guess what? There's practically, maybe 5% of it is still controlled by the federal government. So all of the northern and southern states, the federal government has given all that land back. They haven't done it in the West. Now, if, right now, federal government controls one-third of California. That's all the forest and beaches and desert and you name it, whatever, you know, to include military bases and all that. But generally, it's open, undeveloped land. Now, if they could give that back to the state, to California, Jesus, we wouldn't be talking about a deficit anymore. So, you know, there are these things too that need to be done. You probably don't agree.
How do we start doing it?
Yeah. Well, I
definitely don't agree that we give the federal land back to the states.
Why the hell not?
It never was theirs to begin with.
No, once the state...
Now, if you want to have another homestead, if you want to have another homestead on all the federal land, I have no problem with that. I'm not a tree hugger. I don't think we need all this national park shit. You know, okay, you got no job for me. Give me 5 acres and let me see if I can feed myself
five acres. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess you could do some things with it. Now, granted,
I'm sure you could do good, solid subsistence farming.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing too, and I think Utah has made the best case on it. You know, there's so much that is not developed that could be, and the state, you know, the federal government sits on it. Now, one thing they do is they keep expanding their parks bigger and bigger all the time. And, of course, they have to hire people to manage it and all that. But on the other end of it, when we get into minerals and grazing rights for cattle and forestry, the government is totally inept. They absolutely give it away.
Hey, guess what? I got somebody in the chat room. I got a couple people in the chat room now.
Oh,
Buffnet Lover. Buffnet Lover. Why not call the main channel there, Buffnet Lover?
Yeah, we'll talk Buffalo.
We'll talk lots of Buffalo.
Oh, wasn't that a sad football game? Ooh, I thought for sure they had Pittsburgh by the short hairs.
Well, first of all, they were being pounded, and then they caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy dropped the ball.
Well, I know. Well, unfortunately,
they're not a good team. That's what not good teams do.
Yeah, I know.
If they caught those balls, they would be a good team.
Yeah, and you know, when I've seen the replays, and it, let's face it, he should have had that. That was a perfect pass. I mean,
it does happen. Everybody drops the ball.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know, don't sit in the locker room and cry.
Well, he didn't.
Take your money from. He sat in the locker room and cried. Take your money from that day and buy all 80,000 people a beer.
He said, and, well, of course, you know. But, you know, it wasn't his fault.
What do you mean it wasn't his fault?
He said it was God's fault. He said, he said he prays to God 24/7, and then he said, how come you do me like that? I cracked out. I was, oh, yeah.
He did not say that.
He did. That was on his Twitter. He Twittered that right afterwards.
Why did God do me bad? Oh, my God.
He said, how come you do me like that? So anyway, yeah, I you know, you'd have to probably read the Buffalo News and see what else was. I thought it was kind of funny, but, you know.
Oh, did you hear what happened? Oh, speaking of, the whole world, we've gone nuts.
Just today?
The lady here in Virginia, the grandmother. They're on a family out. One of the big malls.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, she takes a two and a half year old I can't remember if it was a granddaughter or grandson, picks him up and just throws him over a 3-story landing.
Oh my God, no.
I mean, the whole country is crazy.
Yeah, well, in my area, there have been a lot of shootings. And they're just kids shooting each other in front of high schools.
Right, now you know what they want to do in some schools? They want to start skeet clubs.
Oh, well.
They want to bring the shotgun to school.
Yeah, but where could they? They would have to go out to a range or something, you know. You can't shoot skeet within the city. At least not my city.
Well, I'm sure they're country schools.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, a lot of, you know, high schools, not so much in the Northeast, but in the South and the West, they have rifle clubs and hunting clubs. They have
I'm
all
in Virginia, baby. That's not exactly the Northeast.
But, you know, I mean, these kids get 22 rifles when they're 10 years old, you know, in some of the states. So, you know, it's a natural thing for them.
Some people say in the inner city they get them when they're 5.
Well, yeah, you know, as long as you, it's hard to buy a pistol for a young child.
You put it in your pocket.
Yeah, I know. But anyway.
Fuck that lover. Wait a minute. I got to interrupt here. Fuck that lover. Come on. Tough economy, no phone. Please, just Skype in now.
No telephone.
Skype is free. Rough economy, butt neck lover.
Well,
I don't know.
If he says he can't afford a phone, then why should you disbelieve him? I mean, he says he can't afford a telephone. You know,
if he's got a computer,
whoa,
I'm sick of hearing this too. If he's got a computer and he's connected to the chat room.
Yeah, but it's long distance to call you. It's long distance to call you.
On Skype, it's not.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that well. I've tried it. You know that.
Yeah, well, you should. I've been on Skype for weeks now.
Well, why don't you?
I want to know who Bucknet Lover is. It's got to be somebody who.
Why don't you send him a text so he can call in?
Send him a check.
Yeah, well, you know. You
maybe I should go to no phone. Oh, my gosh. That's a beauty. No phone.
Mm-hmm.
Hot dog. Okay, let me go back to the switchboard. Maybe he's calling in. No such luck. Come on, BL Love. Hey, you know, speaking of Buffalo, things are so bad he's got no phone. He can barely afford his internet. If you're going to let one go, I'd let the phone go. Absolutely.
I would let the phone go before the internet. Absolutely. I mean, I do more communicating on the internet than anywhere else, you know.
For the most part,
the calls I get are just salespeople. And all the charities, good. They've been hitting me for the last couple of weeks. And half of them are frauds, you know. We get a lot of fraudulent charities here. You know, they'll say, we raise money for disabled firefighters or this.
There's always somebody missing some part, and I'm really susceptible to them now because of my nephew. But he's doing way better, so that's some good news. That's something to be thankful for coming out of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get out of the hospital in San Antonio and going to be coming out patient soon. And that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Been a little over a month.
Yeah.
It's utterly astounding.
Mm.
You know, where just probably 2 years ago he would have died on the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah.
But now he's going to keep his leg, it looks like, too, which is a good thing.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're not 100% sure how much movement and everything it's going to have, but
yeah,
there is the potential of it being as good as new.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
there's
a lot more going on now with, you know, like nerve regeneration and things of that sort.
It's unbelievable.
You know, I mean,
it's
people stick with the therapy and you know, it's pretty amazing how, you know, you're not going to get full use back, but you get enough to where you can get around, which is really important.
You know? Oh, my God, Buffner. Had to give up the phone and the internet. Since I'm addicted to porn, I got rid of the phone.
Oh, well.
I can't believe somebody would write that. I can't believe I said it over the air.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I looked at porn, you know. I mean, I just
at our age, it doesn't make any difference anyway.
It all looks alike to me. I mean, you know, how many can you see before they all look the same?
That's terrible. Let's keep this show
on
the up and up.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, I just don't care. I mean, I like a sleazy joke once in a while, and that's about it, you know.
Yes.
But even
but anyway, actually, I talked with a guy today, and we got talking about Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really interesting, and he found out about all of, you know, he says, how come Buffalo had such... so much fancy architecture and people just don't understand. Till the early 60s, Buffalo was the cat's meow.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you can...
At the turn of the century, Buffalo was the eighth largest city in the country.
Well, yeah, they... if you went back... Yeah, at that time... From, let's say, from there up through the 1920s, the Great Lakes region was the equivalent of Silicon Valley. That's where all the innovation,
absolutely,
all the innovation
the
was there, you know. The
and,
new products
and
all of it.
And so all the guy said to me, he said, in fact, he was going to call tonight. I'm really kind of brokenhearted. But
mm-hmm.
the guy said to me, so what ended it? And it ended the day the St. Lawrence Seaway opened.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
that was the end.
Yeah, that screwed up a lot of things.
Buffalo ceased to be a major port that day.
And you didn't need the flour mills and all the rest. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. But then, too, I mean, our auto industry lost out to Detroit. Because Buffalo was a serious auto producer, luxury, you know,
absolutely. It was
pure tarot.
A serious auto producer right into the mid-60s.
And we had airplane, Curtis Wright. I mean, we had, I think, there were four factories there.
Oh, Buffalo was a boom town.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely. And, you know,
the same Seaway opened, and that was the end.
And, you know, the weird thing is, like, in Sacramento, they're very proud of their Victorians, you know, the Victorian houses and that are in the Midtown area and that. And I look at them, and I go, you don't know. I mean, the west side of Buffalo, I mean, the incredible building.
I got to step back Buffalo a minute. I just got bad news. Ben Olsen is really not the coach of D.C. United. Please tell me that's not true. If that's true, I'm never going to another game again.
Mm.
Bring D.C. back to the glory years. Oh, my God. Ben, oh, no. Let's go back to Buffalo, please. Jesus. Oh. Anyway, actually, I got a couple of questions that we can ponder for next week. We got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
But I think this is a really interesting question. Well, first, Richard Dreyfuss was on this program, and I kind of like listening to him every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And today was one of those days. But he said something. He said, and that's what's changed a whole bunch of the equations. Computers have removed time from decision making.
Oh.
You know, and before computers, you had time to make a decision. You know, It took a couple hours for the news of Pearl Harbor to get here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are we talking computers, or are we just talking the speed of communication?
Well, computers are what make that speed of communication.
Yeah.
I mean, if we probably would have blown each other up over Cuba if we had had communication at the speed we had them today.
Yeah. Well,
you know, those Russian ships had a long time to turn around.
Right, right.
They
yeah,
would not
well,
have had that today.
Well, imagine if we had, you know, satellite imaging, you know, 50 years ago or something. You know, you would know things so much faster.
That's true.
Or, let's say, during the years preceding World War II, obviously, you would know that fleet was coming to Pearl Harbor. There wouldn't be any question. Although there are questions, but, you know, and you would know about the concentration camps in Germany. You'd be able to see, here they are, you know.
So,
or you would know the situation of the Russians in you know, during Barbarossa. So you would, there would be a tremendous amount of knowledge that wasn't there, which obviously would have affected decisions, so.
Well, computers have removed time from decision. Unbelievable idea, and you just don't think about it.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
the real question is, does that, I can't think of the right word, does it make decision-making less reliable than it has been in the past? Are you more prone to make mistakes? Because you have to do it faster.
Well, the thing is that, one, you're getting information quicker, so it makes the decision-making easier. And I would say, too, that the information is more reliable, because now you've got audio and visual verification. You know, so if the North Korean fleet is heading to San Francisco, we'll know about it.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah.
The North Korean fleet could be heading in the direction of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
necessarily to San Francisco.
But we would know where they are all
so
the
fast,
time.
We'll blow it up.
Yeah.
What?
But,
well, actually, you know, it really is possible for, you can still, an aircraft carrier can still get lost in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, let's take something, for example, since we're talking about North Korea, you know, we unquestionably know the location of their missiles, their nuclear plants, all of that. So we can hit them whenever we want to.
Yeah, maybe, but we didn't quite know where their artillery shells were off that island.
I sincerely think we saw them maneuver. See, they do this stuff all the time, but, you know, there's a question whether or not they're going to fire. Now, we also know that they've moved missiles to the border. And some of these missiles are capable of hitting that carrier. Now, I'm
oh,
not saying,
there's no question about that
and
carrier.
So you know this stuff is there, you know.
Yeah, but I guess the question becomes, because it's all so much faster, you may react and fire a missile at that carrier. Without thinking about the fact that you're going to be annihilated as soon as they can retarget all the missiles pointed at Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you're just going to be annihilated.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, there isn't any question in my mind that all of that is set up in advance, and should they fire on an American ship, now it will be interesting, because because you remember the Pueblo, they actually
yes.
captured the freaking ship, and we didn't respond, did we? The way we should
well,
have.
It would have been. Would have been very difficult to capture that ship.
Right, but it wouldn't have been difficult
to respond
to an attack on an American ship, except that it was probably in their water, and it definitely was spying. But, the commander was ordered to surrender the ship. I don't give a damn what anybody says about that. Somebody upstairs said, just give it up, you know. So
I don't know about that.
Yeah, my experience with, officers at that level, you know, they don't surrender, you know, unless somebody tells them to. I mean, surrendered.
I mean, the guy may. Here's the point. Everybody got out alive.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a difference to me.
Well, yeah.
All
okay.
the time. You know, Lloyd Bucher's grandchildren don't care about the fact that we lost a little face.
Yeah, yeah.
They get to see their grandfather.
Right, right. Yes, yeah. I think that was a point in time where we probably had to be more aggressive, and we weren't, you know.
But all that would have done is get all those people killed.
You would expect an invasion, you know, north south.
If we, all the people on that ship would have been killed.
Right, okay, that's a possibility. They would have been prisoners of war at that point.
The ship would have just been blown up if it resisted. They would have been killed.
But here's the thing. Okay, and we're dealing around the Somalian coast now, too. You know, you've got, you know, that used to be an act of war. Apparently it isn't anymore.
So was terrorism an act of war?
Well, yeah, but these people don't have countries. I mean, they're
neither do pirates on the Somali coast.
Well, the Somali coast, you know, granted, you know, we've got the Somalian government and they are harboring all of these pirates and whatnot. Can you take them out? Could you send a cruiser over there and just blow away all those towns? I guess you could, you know. Or at least destroy all their boats. I don't see anything wrong with that. If they don't have boats, they aren't pirates anymore. Duh, you know.
They don't have boats. Well, we're gonna go through the last minute with that, folks. Anybody out there in the chat room, let me go see. Hey, thank you all for coming. We're going out of here on that one. Norm at Night is signing off.
Okay,
if the Somali
man.
Pirates don't have boats, then I guess they're not pirates anymore.
Okay,
oh,
man.
Oh, you gotta love it. Only on Norm at Night. We'll see you next week. And we've had plenty of listeners tonight, just not a lot of callers. Tune in next week when Colt and I will entertain you again on the Norm at Night Show, coming to you live from Cat Harbor, Virginia. We're going to go out tonight with a little bit of Italian music. See you next week.
Take care, man. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Un certo Pasqualino pescatore viveva in assoluta povertà, però sentiva sempre in fondo al cuore qualcosa che diceva un di verrà. e un bel dì giusto a Sorrento, una principessa indiana sopra un grosso bastimento, la bellissima Cari. Pasqualino la guardò e Cari si innamorò e di